back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He deflects it by Antiniemi! And the Flyers have some magic left as they win it in overtime!
Voracek cutting on in! Voracek to the middle of the shot! He scores!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
Seymour Gagné!
That's what the people came to see!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. And, well, Matt, things are pretty much still status quo with the Flyers. This hockey team sucks, and there's only 11 games left this season. And I think I can say I can speak for all of Flyers fandom right now and say, thank God.
Yeah, I think their goose is cooked, as they say at this point. Like you just said, they're 11 points back with 11 games left. Even if they win every game from now on, they'll only get, 22 points? Math guy. It's very bleak at this point. And it's almost like we talked about just a couple minutes ago before we started recording, it's just like they're playing, I guess, hopefully they play for pride. So for some sort of pride at this point, because again, this team has not even really shown much heart this season, much grit, much backbone, much of anything after they completely just derailed themselves after that COVID shutdown for those few days back in February.
Yeah, February.
It's been 2 months of this. This is terrible.
Yeah, we're at the end of April now.
Yeah. It's honestly, they play again, tomorrow night? Yeah, tomorrow night, but they've been off since the 18th. So, it's kind of been nice,
a nice break.
And, you don't have to be you kind of have to, all right, let's go on Twitter. Let's see what's going on tonight. Let's see what this team, are they going to lose by 6 goals? Are they going to lose by 1 goal? As we will touch on in one of the more recent games. But I guess we can kind of start with a positive, though. They beat the Penguins, which was good. I always think to myself, regardless of how the team's doing, whenever, anytime they beat the Penguins is a win, literally. And they did just that on the 15th, last Thursday in Pittsburgh. Hart got his first victory in 8 starts, and the Flyers beat the Penguins in a shootout, something you don't see every day. Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier with some beautiful shootout goals. And Carter Hart. What is it? NSFW? That is it?
Yes.
Is that? Yeah.
Not safe for work.
Yep. But, it was all right, and that was a Thursday? So you're going into Friday and you're like, all right, it's Friday. Flyers actually won in a shootout. It's a good day. So,
yeah.
That's literally, it's been the only, one of the only bright spots in these dark times that we're in for Flyers hockey. Just going over the last week here quick for the games. Again, like I said, not very good. They win in Pittsburgh on Thursday. They lose to the Washington Capitals on Saturday the 17th. And talk about a game that brings out the Sunday scaries. On Sunday the 18th, just a couple days ago, they take the Islanders to overtime, and it's safe to say that was a goaltender's duel game because both teams had their chances. Both goalies played pretty well. Was definitely not I still have no idea how NBC Sports decided to broadcast a game like that, knowing that the Flyers and the Islanders would either go to overtime or a shootout, and they did, obviously. But in true Flyers fashion, I thought they played a decent game for the most part.
They outplayed the Islanders for the majority of the game. They were the better team.
Yeah. And, like I said, if it wasn't for Ilya Sorokin being unreal, that would have been a 5-goal. Flyers would have had 5 goals at least, probably. But, of course, the overtime winner, the only goal of the game, goes off of Travis Sanheim's stick and into the net, and the Flyers lose in overtime. And I forget who tweeted it, but someone was like, well, X out that on the ways the Flyers can lose this season bingo card. Like, but it's like, oh, man, it's just brutal. I mean, like you said, I'll stop talking here in a second, but just Dave, I'll segue into this. The one bright spot has been, I guess we can say, Wade Allison.
Yes.
And I'll let you go into that now, but he's been good. And Dave, I'll hand you the talking stick, as you say. You can give your thoughts on the state of the union on this team.
Yeah, Wade Allison, I believe his first game, was it the Pittsburgh game? Last Thursday, was that his first game, or did he play in the
Yeah, it was.
His first career NHL game.
Getting booed at it as he got a solo lap and got booed because they were in Pittsburgh.
He came out with a lot of energy and spunk, something we haven't seen from this team in a while, so he definitely stood out.
Yeah.
He got his first career goal on the power play, something where he does, where he's done a lot of damage in college. Mm-hmm. Against the Capitals, and he was like the one bright spot in that loss, and then he stuck out with just his energy and his forecheck and his aggressiveness on the puck in that game on Sunday against the Islanders. And overall, I mean, there was hockey I liked from the Flyers in this three-game stretch that we had since our last podcast, and there's a lot of hockey I didn't like, especially in that Capitals loss.
How many times can we say that this season? There's a lot of like hockey I didn't like.
It's like we're repeating ourselves every podcast, which is what we're trying not to do this week. But at the end of the day, you know, anytime you can beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, I'm a happy camper, especially because considering after every Flyers-Penguins game in the past couple of years that I can remember where the Flyers beat the Penguins, I quote them good old Sean Connery from SNL, suck it long and suck it hard at Penguins. And it's something I've always done for like the past 2 years. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stick with it. So I got to tweet it Thursday night, went into a great mood on Friday. and then they just, the Flyers just says that, and I can't even speak. As they have done all season, they have crushed the essence of my soul.
Oh, yeah.
But man, it has, it's just been, thank God there's 11 games left, and thank God the Stanley Cup playoffs are coming around. We'll probably do our brackets again, and hopefully mine doesn't get absolutely wrecked like it did last year. We won't talk about that, though, but I'm looking forward to the playoffs, actually, watch some good hockey. So I've watched my fair share of piss-poor hockey from this Philadelphia Flyers team, but just it's been an up-and-down year with more downs than ups.
Oh, yeah.
But like you touched on, Matt, and they've got 11 games left. And you literally only play the New York Rangers, the New Jersey Devils, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Washington Capitals until May 10th. That's your last game. You got two games against the Rangers coming up here on tomorrow night, Thursday, and Friday. Then you play three in a row against the New Jersey Devils on Sunday, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday of next week. And then you go in, and then it's May. It's going to be May, just as Justin Timberlake once said. You play the Devils on May 1st, back-to-backs at home against the Penguins on May 3rd and May 4th, then a back-to-back on the road to the Capitals on the 7th and 8th, and then you close out the season on home ice May 10th, the week of my 30th birthday, the week of my wedding against the New Jersey Devils. So please, Flyers, just if you want to win any of those games, just win on May 10th.
I hope they win more than that, just that game.
That's, I was segueing into something. What I want to see here the rest of the season is we have questioned effort by this team this year.
Yeah.
And there is a very, 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 very large chunk of the fan base that has accused this team of giving up already. What I want to see this team do for these last 11 games is play with some pride. Play with that, we're going to get NSFW again here, but be that fucking Flyer mentality that Alain Vigneault was quoted as saying last year.
Yeah.
Show the fan base that this year was a fluke. Play for your jobs. Play for an extension if you're an RFA. Prove that you still should be part of this team come next year after the expansion draft in this offseason. Say, I want to be a Philadelphia Flyer. That's all I want to see. I want to see some good hockey. I want to see how things can shape up. I want to see if Wade Allison can continue his level play that he's been at, because he's been an injection into this top six. I want to see if when Carter Hart returns from his nagging hip injury, that he's back to the level that he was, because he was impressive in that Penguin. Like, the Carter Hart we saw in that Penguins win was the Carter Hart that we expected all season and what we saw last year.
Yep.
You hope that he can build on it. You got to wonder, we already know Brian Elliott is starting tomorrow night and Alex Lyon is slated to get the start Friday night. I just want to see, I think we have to move on from Brian Elliott. But if the Flyers, if for some reason they think Alex Lyon is a feasible option as a backup goalie to Carter Hart next year, I need to see a lot of Lyon, and I need to see better than what I saw him against the Capitals last Saturday. I already question him, and I don't think he's an NHL caliber goaltender. Yeah. So that's going to be a huge test. But overall, I just want to see this team play. I watched a good old rom-com the other night with my fiance, with Brian. We watched The Holiday, that has huge cast in it, but Jack Black's in it.
Holiday.
From like 2006. It wasn't bad. It wasn't for a rom-com. You know, it's what it is. But there was this word a lot used in it by this old Jewish movie writer who got celebrated. He used the word gumption a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I just want the Flyers to play with some gumption, you know? Yeah. I just want...
That's a great word.
It's a fantastic word. You got to improve the... Always have to improve the vocabulary. The tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips. Just gumption. I want to see this team give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm saying they've given up. I've definitely accused them of giving up at times this season. But you've got 11 games left to make me feel somewhat cautiously optimistic heading into the offseason. You know, this next course is literally setting up what Chuck Fletcher is planning to do this offseason. I've already lost faith in Chuck Fletcher, but he's the GM, and realistically, he's probably not going anywhere. So we gotta trust the dude. So, these last 11 games, dear Philadelphia Flyers, please, you're playing your most bitter rivals you've been playing all year. But if you can, nothing would make me happier if you can play well, and if you can eliminate the New York Rangers from also making the playoffs. That would just bring so much joy to my heart. Beat the Devils, because the Devils suck. And I don't care what anyone says, the Flyers are still a better team than the New Jersey Devils, and they have a better, higher ceiling than the Devils, and I will die on that hill. The Rangers, I used to say that. I think they've caught up. They're probably neck and neck with the Flyers, which stinks, but it's going to lead to some good hockey in the future. And, of course, you know, the Penguins are the Penguins. You know, if you beat them twice, you finish the year 6-2 against them. And
yeah,
what Philadelphia Flyer fan isn't going to like that?
Yeah.
But we do have some stats, because I can be a stat guy from time to time. These stats are brought to you by Jordan Hall of NBC Sports Philadelphia. And it's just some interesting numbers here. Jordan decided to collect the record of the Flyers against the playoff-bound teams in this division, the top four teams in the Metropolitan East, the East Division, the Mass Mutual East, whatever.
No free ads.
They are 1-5 against the Capitals. Yikes. 3-1-4 against the Islanders. That's better. I didn't think they were going to do like that against the Islanders before the season started. 4-2 against the Penguins. Cool. That's what I expected, because the Penguins suck and the Flyers are a better team than them. Well, not really based off of this season, but I'm a Flyers fan, so screw them. And the one team that isn't going to be in the division next year, like we talked about before the podcast, Matt, in the Boston Bruins. The Flyers are 2-4-2 against them. But the Bruins are they're the creme de la creme of the Eastern Conference of the National Hockey League. They are going to be a bar set that the Flyers need to get at or pass to get to that next level. So by those numbers, the only one that really makes you go happy is the 4-2 record against the Penguins.
Yeah.
The rest are concerning.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because those are all teams that, based off the Flyers' play last year and my attitude going into this season, I said the Flyers were better than every single one of them. Now I'm going, they're better than one, maybe two, if that. So yeah. There is, like we've touched on previous podcasts, Chucky Two Trades has his work cut out for him this offseason. But that's all really, and Matt, I'll give the talking stick back here. but in closing, I just want some gumption from this Flyers team.
Yeah.
Make the Flyers enjoyable to watch again for these last 11 games. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask for?
With this team, probably. But yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly with all that, Dave. And I mean, I guess they can kind of start the beginning of the end on the right foot tomorrow and Friday, with beating the Rangers, obviously. And again, you don't just like literally just beat them. Where
yes,
I don't understand how at this point, and like we talked about before we started recording, at this point the Flyers can play spoiler, where they can spoil the Rangers' chances of possibly getting into the playoff hunt. They could possibly spoil other what? Let's see.
I'm checking the standings right now.
I guess mainly just the Rangers at this point, because
yeah, they're
too far behind everyone else.
The Rangers have 52 points. They are 6 points behind the Boston Bruins to get that fourth playoff seed.
And the Flyers have a game in hand, too.
Flyers have one game in hand on the Rangers. The Rangers do have two games in hand on the Bruins, but the Bruins are in the midst of playing the Buffalo Sabres 15 billion times before the season is over.
Yep.
So I think you can chalk up all W's there. Do I think the Rangers will make the playoffs? No. I think the Bruins will lock it down.
Yeah.
But the Flyers need to do their part and to beat the Rangers to ensure that the Rangers do not make it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, I just want some at least semi-enjoyable hockey where, like, make it interesting, do something where it's like, again, like you start to build towards something for next season, where these guys are hopefully playing for their jobs at this point, where if they kind of just go out with like instead of like any sort of like on any sort of good note these last 11 games, I think we're going to see, well, even prior to this, I think we should see, and I hope we see major changes to this roster. And maybe, even though Fletcher did say there weren't going to be changes to the coaching staff, I think there has to be at least one or two, because, I mean, we're in what the X number of year where I just looked at it earlier. The Flyers, their power play is middle, like lower quadrant, whatever you want to call it. They're 20th in the league on the power play. Their PK is bottom of the barrel, right above the Devils for the worst in the league. So they're 30th. And I mean, the best positive team stat the Flyers have is faceoff percentage. They're top four. They're number four. But it's like, yeah, like they've done that for, they've been good at faceoffs, but hell, I would say screw it. Be terrible at faceoffs, but also be a contender and a legit Stanley Cup like favorite. Like, lose every faceoff, but you win 40 games. Like, I don't know.
You win the hockey games.
Yeah, it's just, we, like I said before, and like we've said ad nauseum again, we've seen bits and pieces of what this team can do this season, but none of it has been cohesive whatsoever. And there's been no momentum that's really shifted from game to game. There's been no positive momentum that's shifted from game to game. There sure as hell has been negative momentum, because the Flyers have their shovels and their pickaxes almost every game, and they find a new way to dig themselves into a hole somehow. But like you said, I mean, there's really, I can't really say much at this point besides just play for pride and somehow it's obviously too late to salvage the season. The season was over after March, honestly.
Yeah.
And you just, again, you play for yourself, you play for your teammates, hopefully. Like, but again, we've even seen haven't even played for their teammates this year.
No, so, they haven't even played for the fans that could come to the Wells Fargo Center this year. Yeah. So,
I think the future of this team is so unclear at this point, because it's just become such chaos with what they should do with the roster, with the expansion draft, with the draft itself. I mean, I almost kind of want to fast forward to the draft at this point, just to see if anyone has moved then. And then I think not even a week after the entry draft is the expansion draft. And then there's free agency, obviously. I just saw, too, I got an ESPN notification that I think they're aiming for an October 12th start date for next regular season.
So, they want next year to be like a normal season.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, I'm all for it. But I'm, like I said, I almost want to fast forward to see what this team does. Like, because... Yeah. It's going to be even if there's no changes this offseason, it's going to be even worse than it could be even worse than it is this year, where 56 games of this was terrible. But I can't even imagine. I don't want to go through an 82 game season like this.
Yeah. And I want to pose you a question here, Matt.
What's up?
Load management and pulling players for injury when you know you're out of it is a popular idea in the NBA and in basketball.
Yeah.
At this point, you know, you can tell that Sean Couturier is not Sean Couturier. He is definitely playing through something.
I think you could say that about every guy on
this team. Yeah. But guys like Sean Couturier, who you can tell are visibly hurt and are just playing for it because hockey mentality, tough guy. At what point do you go, Coots, we've got a shortened off season.
Mm-hmm.
You are our number one center. You are our franchise center. We need you next year, healthy and ready and raring to go.
Yeah.
You already have a shortened off season. You need surgery on your hip. We're going to shut you down now. Go get the surgery. So that way you're done nice and early. You have the summer to recoup and you're ready to go for training camp.
Yeah.
And also guys like Claude Giroux, who's got, feel like 100,000 air miles on him right now throughout his career in the NHL.
Yep.
At one point you go, gee, got a lot of miles on you. We this year is done. Like, we know you're our captain, etc., but we want to shut you down. We've got some younger prospects, some younger kids. We want to give a look to see if they can contend to be part of this future and really be what we think they are.
Yeah.
We're going to shut you down too. Out of those two scenarios and those two players, would you do it?
I would say yes to an extent, where obviously guys like Couturier and Giroux, I forgot their name for a second, but like guys like Coots and Giroux are very proud. Any player should be proud of what they do, especially, I thought people would be proud to be part of the Flyers, but I don't know about this organization right now. But
they're playing in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, you're a National Hockey League player. You should be proud to play hockey for a living. I mean, there's thousands of people that would want this opportunity, and only a small percentage of those get the opportunity to play in the NHL. So, if anything, I don't think this is going to happen, but you just – If the team does approach them about that, about shutting it down and stuff like that, maybe they, and again, this probably is not realistic, but I'll just throw it out there anyway. I don't know if you just reduce their minutes where, like, I don't know, it's tough. Because then you also walk that fine line between, do you bring up more of these young guys? And, like, it can't be good for a young player's development when even for – two or three games if they're up here and your team's getting absolutely spanked, like, that's going to obviously take a toll, where it's like if a guy is, like, let's say Allison makes his debut and, like, the Flyer, I mean, he's already been here for, I guess, bad losses. So it's like, I don't know how that affects those guys mentally, where it's like you make your NHL debut and you're a minus three and your team loses 7-1. Like, I think it's a, like you said, there's a fine line between bringing those guys up to see what they can do in the NHL, but also, again, you want to kind of keep them, because I think the Phantoms have been playing pretty well.
Phantoms are one of the best teams in the American Hockey League right now.
So I think, like, I think you kind of maybe you call up one or two more guys from the Phantoms for a couple games just to get a couple NHL games under their belt. But I don't think, like, I don't think they're going to shut down Giroux. I don't think they're going to shut down Couturier. If Couturier, the surgery thing and the extended, like, an extended absence from playing, I could see happening, because especially, like, you obviously want all your players healthy for the beginning of next season. And then hopefully there's also a preseason too, so that injuries may not be as frequent on all that. I'm saying so much, but it's tough. But I think I would do it, but also I wouldn't. So, but again, we just want to see whoever the hell plays for this team in the next 11 games play well. And just give us something fun to watch for these last 11 games before we go into hibernation and the complete speculation of the offseason starts to rear its ugly head, and suddenly everyone's an insider and they know who's going where, for who, for how much, for how long a term, and who's coming back to the team and who's getting fired and all that stuff. It is fun to see that to an extent, but people are like so just overzealous, is the term there. But I just like to see kind of what all unfolds. And like I said before, it would be interesting to fast forward to see what does happen, and then I'll come back with news from the future and say it's not all bad, or say it gets even worse.
We can really use Doctor Strange in the time stone right now.
Yeah, we've said so many times where we're just along for the ride at this point, and obviously the ride hasn't been fun for most of this season, but I am kind of looking forward to what may happen in the offseason.
Yeah, definitely, and I think out of all the players, too, who you might want to see get called up from the Phantoms, there's a couple interesting ones.
Yeah.
The OHL has announced that they're not coming back this season. So they're not even having a season.
Yeah.
The WHL and the Quebec League are playing, but there's no Memorial Cup championship this season. So I know guys like Zade Wisdom and Tyson Forrester, who have played the whole year in the American Hockey League, are finishing out their first year with the Phantoms. So that's good. So they're getting a full year of pro hockey under their belt, and they've been pretty darn good for the Phantoms. I don't see them getting a call up.
Yeah.
The one person who I could see maybe getting a couple games under his belt before this season's over is Cam York, who's actually making his pro hockey debut tonight with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms against the Hershey Bears, wearing number 44. Igor Zamula is another defenseman, who I wouldn't mind seeing getting the call up. So it's just going to be interesting. The Phantoms are clicking right now, and they're playing good, and they're having a winning, fun atmosphere. You don't want to mess with that too much.
Yeah.
But it would be nice to see, like, we got to see Zamula a little bit in the bubble last postseason. It would be nice that we saw what Cam York did at the World Juniors this past year and what he's done at Michigan the past couple seasons. So it'd be nice to see him maybe get a taste, because, he's probably, I'm not calling Cam York, he doesn't have the same hype that Ivan Provorov had, but ideally Cam York could be a great number three.
Yeah.
And he could be an excellent two-way defenseman that has that same power play flair that Ghost had when he broke into the league.
Yep.
So there's almost your good at defense Shane Gostisbehere replacement in Cam York. So we will see what happens there. My other big thing, too, they need to work on next year is I'm looking at the standings right now, and I'm seeing all the stats broken down.
Yeah.
The 45 games played, they're 2018-7. I'm amazed they're not actually under legit, like, 500 by NHL standards.
I gotta plug my laptop in, sorry.
But, I'm looking at this goal. The overall team defense needs to be better. They're a minus 34 goal differential, which is not good at all. And then their road records, or road records, okay. They're 11-8-3 on the road, but what's really concerning to me is they're 9-10-4 on home ice.
Yeah.
That's the Wells Fargo Center. That's your home rink. That. I'm not going to go off a tangent about this, but that needs to be much better next season.
Yeah.
As is everything else.
And it speaks to the fact that I'm so curious about what is going to happen this offseason, because like we talked about, I think it was last week where we went off on that tangent about the business side of things. Mm-hmm. And if this team doesn't improve and this same product is put out on the ice next year, when there is ideally a full house of fans, we might not see a full house because I was excited when fans were let in. I was excited about going back to a game, all that stuff. But now, honestly, I don't even want to pay to watch this team.
Yeah, no, I would go on StubHub and buy the cheapest ticket possible, and I would eat before going to the game, and I would tailgate next to my car and get a little buzz with my own beer before going in, and I would not spend a damn cent in the Wells Fargo Center during the game if I were to go to one.
Yeah.
I am my birthday's coming up. My grandparents asked me what I wanted. And of course, like me being a Jersey guy, they said, oh, well, would you want another jersey? And I'm like, no, because I don't want Comcast getting any of my money right now, because I'm angry at them for how they're managing the Flyers. Well, like, then the freaking Flyers sent out another email to their email list. They're discounting the remaining games in May. Already on top of it, this is for Inside Edge season ticket holders.
Yeah.
So their tickets are already discounted this season. They're putting on another 25% off discount on that. They're literally begging people to come. But fans, you got to remain strong. Do not go. Do not renew your season tickets. I know some of you will do it because you love the Flyers that much. I'm there with you. I'm so frustrated and don't know what to say because of how much I love this team.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Mm.
like, you know what I mean? It's like, it hurts me to have to say, stop giving them your money.
Yeah.
Because with every being of my fiber, I want to be in that building buying $15 Miller or blue lights. You know, I want to be buying the craft fries. I want to be rocking a new snapback, buying a new jersey. But the only way I feel like we're in it, like we touched on last week, to get this team to wake up is for ownership to realize that the fans are pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a lot.
It's going to take a transaction is what it's going to take. It's going to take a personnel transaction where I don't think it's going to be a coach. Who knows? It could be a coach at this point, depending on how badly.
I mean, it should be three coaches getting fired, if you ask me. We've already touched on that.
Yeah. I think for the time being, I think Vigneault is safe, but we've seen the temporary magic of Michel Therrien and Mike Yeo come and go, where we saw the Flyers power play and PK clicking at points last season, especially in the bubble, before the bubble when they went on that run before the COVID pause. But it's almost been like it's been a liability at mm-hmm. a lot of points this season where the Flyers go on a penalty kill. They're most likely going to get scored on because they're not being aggressive enough, or there's two offensive players behind your two defensemen and you're playing way too passive of a box or a diamond or whatever they want to run on the power play or penalty kill, sorry. And then on the power play, I think I've said this before. If I had a dollar for every time the Flyers ran the slingshot to try and get in the zone on the power play,
you'd be a millionaire.
I would be a rich man.
You might even be a billionaire.
And the fact that I think, too, like, if I was ever a hockey coach and my team iced the puck on a power play, someone would get sat. Like, the person who, like, I dumping, the Flyers have been a bad dump and change dump and chase team in general when they're not on the power play. But when you're dumping the puck in on the power play, when you have a man advantage and you're not even getting it, what the hell? You have, like, declined the power play at that point. So I think there needs to be, like you said, and like we've said again, like everyone said, like everyone wants to see, there needs to be concrete change this offseason, especially next season, when it comes to that product on the ice. Because actually, our guys at the Pigeon Coop, I saw they were saying something about how the Hextall era was supposed to be all about patience, waiting for the prospects that we had drafted to come to fruition. And now the team is preaching even more patience on top of the patience that we were already supposed to have and already supposed to, like, have gone through. But again, this team is and has been at the point where it should once again be a contender for a Stanley Cup for the first time in 10 years, I guess. Well, arguably 40 years, I guess. Like you said, we're both so passionate about this team. There's so many fans that are so passionate about this team where just you feel lost at points where, again, you want to support them, but also you don't want to support them to teach them a lesson. But hell, we know we're going to be back in the Wells Fargo Center at some point to see this team play again. And hopefully it'll be because they got new players, they got a couple new coaches, or there's at least a good giveaway at the arena that night where it's like, hey, like, free t-shirt or like some theme night where you can win a TV or something like that. Like, I think this season was supposed to be like, I guess last season too, these last two seasons were supposed to be almost like the franchise making it up to the fans for being so crappy the past decade.
Last year was kind of like that. And then COVID happened.
Yeah, but again, I think that, but that also takes me back to the fact that COVID is such a hollow excuse, I think, where again, every team is dealing with it and teams are finding ways to win and be good and be contenders. Obviously, someone's going to win the Stanley Cup. And the Flyers are not that team. So I just think, again, there's so many aspects, and again, we're broken records here, but there's so many aspects that need to be fixed and looked at and just changed about this team. And I'm hoping that they can only be this bad for so long, mm-hmm. and there's something that clicks and they find some sort of stride. And again, they're able to build positive momentum day in and day out when we see them go on. Hell, we've seen them go on 10-game winning streaks, and now they can't even string together 20 minutes of play.
Yeah.
They can't even string together a whole period, let alone two games. Yeah. Like, so, I don't know. Again, it's the tomorrow's the beginning of the end. They're honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they get spanked by the Rangers like they have the past every game they've played almost, where
except for the Sam Moran game.
Yeah, I'll mark it down right now. The Flyers will probably lose by at least 3 goals these next two games.
Why?
Mika Zibanejad will probably have 9 points.
Oh, yeah. He'll have
Chris
like 16
Kreider
points
will probably
in two
have
games.
Like at least 4 goals. I mean, Panarin is
I mean, we all know.
I hate to be like this negative about it, but you know, it's like, with how fragile this team is and how well, and the Rangers have had our number, obviously, and it's going to be it's a snowball effect where once the Rangers smell that blood in the water, the Flyers, again, like they do, they just lay back and just it's not even cruise control. They just completely turn the car off and are dead. Like, so
it's what we can't, which is touching on what we said when the podcast first started. They can't do that these last 11 games.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to say I've lost faith in this team to a degree, but again, I still want to see enjoyable hockey. And
yes,
there needs to be an ounce, at least, I don't even know how you measure this, but an ounce of pride that's shown these last 11 games.
Some statistical fortitude.
Yeah, show some nutsack out there.
Some gumption.
Yeah, exactly.
Use that word again, gumption.
So, but, I mean, it's just, I guess we can end the Flyers coverage on this, where we did have another sort of, we had a very positive thing where the Sunday night game against the Islanders, it was Hockey Fights Cancer Night, mm-hmm. and the Flyers did do some awesome stuff for Oscar Lindblom, who obviously defeated Ewing sarcoma and came back in the bubble last year, played a couple games, and then came back this season full-time. The Flyers gave him a solo lap in warm-ups, which was cool. They were all wearing their Hockey Fights Cancer lavender jerseys, and they were also all wearing Lindblom's jersey number during warm-ups, which is a great touch. I'm sure there were a lot of tributes and stuff like that during the game to him.
Yeah, it would have been nice if NBC Sports Network decided to air those tributes.
Yeah, but
That was a ball dropped by NBCSN, if you ask me. Those should have been aired.
Yeah. They touched on it a little bit, but not as much as they should have. I thought, too, that should have been a game that could have been broadcast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So yes. You have because I'm sure if that was NBC Sports Philadelphia on that broadcast, they definitely would have shown that. Yes. And I thought the game was on that channel before I looked at the TV guide and was like, this is on NBC Sports Network. And I was like, like I said, I think it was a missed opportunity by them where even though it's you're marketing one team, the guy's a cancer survivor, for Christ's sake. Like,
yep.
Give him some spotlight, especially when it's on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. So it would have been nice, obviously, if he had at least scored a goal. But
I mean, it would have been nice if any of the Flyers would
score a goal. That's true. If any of the Flyers would have scored a goal that night, because obviously no one scored since they lost 1-0. But that was, again, the tribute to Oscar Lindblom. Obviously, Oscar Strong. Great to see him still doing well. And it's great to see that he's come so far through his battle. He's won his battle. And obviously, we wish that he is just continues to get better and continues to grow with this team.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, I think, Matt, I think we might have exhausted our Flyers talk for this week. And honestly, it went on longer than I thought it was going to go on.
Yeah. Well, at this point, there's again, we ramble so much about the same stuff, but these issues are just such a continuum of issues where
yes.
You can't help but to bring them up. So
it's never ending.
It's inevitable.
And we just we still have to wait a couple of weeks before we can do our, you know, our In Memoriam podcast. True. Which is like, we know we have to do one. It's coming up. That, not making the playoffs, but yeah. It's like, oh, we got to wait like another 3 or 4 more weeks till this happens.
We'll have to get that Sarah McLachlan like SPCA song that they play during those commercials. Man. And we'll just put Flyers highlights in there somewhere.
We'll have to talk to Nat about getting that done.
Yeah. We'll have that as the intro song.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Man.
But, yeah, Dave, I agree. I think we've exhausted our Flyers coverage for tonight and this week. But we only have a brief around the league, too. But before we go into that, I believe we have an ad break.
Yes, we do. So with that, we will be right back here at 5-Minute Major Radio. And we are back here at 5-Minute Major Radio. Thank you to listening to that lovely ad read of mine. With that, Matt, we have our Around the League segment, and I think we might only have one thing for it this week.
We do have one thing. I believe it's – yeah, I mean, you could go into other things, but they're definitely not as major as this. We had a longstanding NHL record broken on Monday night. In case you live under a rock, Patrick Marleau of the San Jose Sharks passed Gordie Howe for most NHL games played when the San Jose Sharks forward reached he played in game number 1768 in a 3-2 shootout loss to the Vegas Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena on Monday night. We saw, I think it was Saturday or Sunday, he tied Gordie Howe
mm-hmm.
at 1767, but passed him obviously on Monday night. It was really cool. I did catch the beginning of the game just to see what mm-hmm. they would do, and it was a very nice touch by the Vegas Golden Knights because the game was in Las Vegas. But
yep.
Marleau was in the starting lineup on the ice for the Sharks, And then the first stoppage, they stopped the game completely. The PA announcer came over the loudspeaker, announced the record, and then they had a speech from Gary Bettman come on the Jumbotron, and he gave a speech and stuff like that. And it, honestly, I got chills from it because that was a record, I believe, that stood for, I want to say at least, I think it was 50 years, something like that.
Something crazy like that.
But so here we go. 1961. So it's been a while.
Been a hot minute.
Yeah, and I saw there was some crazy stat, too, where Marlowe has played with, I think it's 31% of every NHL player that has ever played in the league. So there's been, I'm going to butcher these numbers pretty much, but I think there's been around a little over 8,000 NHL players that have ever played in the NHL, and he's played with a little over 3,000 of them, I think, which is crazy.
I'm not a math guy.
His first, his first career game was October 1st, I think, 1997. Yes. I was two.
I was six.
Yeah. So, and it's crazy that, I mean, especially nowadays with, I guess, I don't know, can you really like attribute this to like sports medicine and all that stuff where we see a lot more.
To.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because we see a lot more longevity in athletes nowadays. It's like I said, it was cool to see. We saw hockey history get made where Marlowe passed guys like, where is it at right here? I just saw it. So he passed former teammate Joe Thornton, Ron Francis, Jaromir Jagr, Mark Messier, and obviously Gordie Howe, but great. He's in great company for games played. I don't know if you did. You see the video from the Maple Leafs with Marner and Matthews
with
Joe Thornton naked in the background. That was pretty good. That was funny.
That was clever.
And also Marlowe got a sweet pair of gloves from, I don't know if it was the league itself or
CCM.
CCM. They made
and they had a typo on them.
Really.
Yeah, if you look at the picture of the glove, they had the number of games played and they had the TH when the number is not a TH afterwards.
No, yeah, because you could say 1,768th game.
Oh, someone said that was a typo that I saw online.
So the way they wrote it is weird though, because it says 1,768th NHL games. It should say 1,768th NHL game.
Games was a typo.
So yeah, there's arguably there's a typo either way because would have had it say 1,768 NHL games or like I said 1,768th NHL game. So
CCM, you dropped the ball and you didn't.
I'll give you that for the it's a misprint. We'll call
CCM
it
CCM should have called up Matt Mastrogiovanni and been like, Matt, how do we word the grammar on these gloves we're making for Patty Marlowe?
And they didn't do
that. Shame on you, CCM.
I don't have a job, but these guys can mess up a hockey record on a on a glove. Let's see. I was going to go back to Marlowe's record here. What do we got? There we go. We can give the people some stats here, Dave. So he is 41 years old. He has played 1,596 games in 21 seasons with the San Jose Sharks, including 45 this season, to extend his streak of consecutive regular season games to 899, which is the fourth longest in NHL history. He's also played 164 games in two seasons with the Toronto Maple Leafs and 8 games with the Pittsburgh Penguins last season. He did... where was I going here? Oh, there we go. After Marlowe finished his first shift at 1:03 of the first period and a hand pass caught the first whistle of the game, they stopped play, like I said, and the PA announcer acknowledged defeat. As fans applauded and players from both teams tapped their sticks, Marlowe came off the bench and raised his stick, followed by, like I said before, Commissioner Gary Bettman congratulating Marlowe with a special message on the video board. I'm losing my ability to speak here. I'll quote some from the commish here. Quote, to be merely mentioned in the same sentence as Gordie Howe is an achievement most hockey players can only dream about. To break one of his records is historic. Marlowe stood with one hand on the boards and looked up as Commissioner Bettman spoke. This is all from NHL.com. Quote again, to earn a precious spot in an NHL lineup night after night, year after year, you have to earn it every single game. You have to possess talent that is extremely elite, an incredible passion for the game, a relentless drive to stay in shape and remain impactful by continuously improving and adapting your skills so that coaches simply cannot take you out of the lineup. Bettman ended it with saying congratulations and also mentioned the company that Marlowe was in, the guys that he passed. So, again, some cool happenings on Monday night. And, again, we saw hockey history.
Yeah. Now, the big debate that you're seeing on the website with the Bird for a Logo app is, it is Patrick Marlowe Hockey Hall of Fame bound? He's won Olympic gold. He's now the leader in all-time games played, the National Hockey League. But he's never won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
He's never led in scoring races and scoring titles or goals.
Yeah.
There are plenty of players in the Hockey Hall of Fame who have never won the Cup.
Yep.
But they've won scoring titles. They've won other league awards.
Yeah.
They've done other things internationally. Granted, he's won the gold medal. Like, that you're already in an upper echelon of athlete there when mm-hmm. you win an Olympic gold. He's got this games played record.
Yeah.
I personally, in the past, thought that he shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm starting to think otherwise. This games played record is a record you thought would never be broken.
Yeah.
He's broken it. He's still a decent forward. I mean, now in his career with San Jose, he's playing in their top nine just because the Sharks aren't good anymore.
Yeah.
But if he's on a contending team, he's probably a good third or fourth liner.
Yep.
He can still skate, and that's the biggest thing. As long as you can still skate in this league, you can play. So who knows if he decides to retire, but I could see him coming back and playing one more year.
Yeah.
I know some of the Sharks would keep him, or another team would gladly sign him. But that is the new debate now, is he Hockey Hall of Fame bound? And there's a lot of people who are on both sides of the aisle in that question. Right now, I've changed my answer. And I am in the middle. I have not decided where my needle wants to land yet, but I am leaning towards yes now.
I was going to say, because I think at least I'm sure what they did with his jersey, his stick, like all that stuff, there might be some sort of fit, like frame or
he'll have a shrine in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But so does that technically count as being it counts as being in the Hall of Fame, but you're not a Hall of Famer. Does that make sense? Because even though his equipment is in there, he wasn't in.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of players who have their equipment as part of a hockey
memory
in the Hall of Fame, but they themselves are not a Hall of Famer.
That's tough. I think, like you said, obviously the Stanley Cup is the elusive thing that he's missing in his career.
He ain't getting it this year because the Sharks aren't making the playoffs.
Yeah, if he wins a cup if he wins a cup before he retires, I think, yes, he makes it
yes.
the Hall of Fame.
I think if he wins a cup before he retires, he's a definite lock, I would say, just because of the games they were. Because then you have the championship, you have the Olympic gold, and you're the all-time leader games played, and no one will probably break your record.
Yeah.
At least one in our lifetime, Matt, is going to break that record.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, we're still young, pretty young, spry guys. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. I think, like we said, if he wins a cup, he's a shoe-in. Maybe it'll be one of those things where he retires and he'll be a lower ballot guy.
It might be a couple years. He's not a first ballot.
We've seen people in the past where it's like, how did they make it in? And there's some
Gary Bettman.
No offense, I don't want to say irrelevant stat, but I guess for lack of better terms, some irreverent stat. I think that's the right way to describe that. But we've seen people Does this, if again, no offense to people that are in the Hall of Fame, we've seen people make it for less.
Yeah.
Hot take, possibly.
No, I agree with you. There are some people who in the Hockey Hall of Fame that I go, really, should they be there?
Yeah. So I think I'm with you in the middle of the aisle stance right now. Before this record, I was more towards no, but I'm a little more towards yes now. And again, like we said, if he wins a Stanley Cup before he retires, it's all the way to yes.
So, I concur. Yes, indeed. Great.
But other than that, so if we want to touch on this quickly, let me see. There are already playoff clinching scenarios for tonight's game, the 21st.
Really?
Yes. There's only one, so this is going to be quick.
Oh, we can do the one.
All right. So this is the scenario for tonight. The Vegas Golden Knights will clinch a playoff berth if they get at least 1 point versus the Sharks. That game is going on. Actually, it's just about to start at 9:30. So they could be the first team to clinch a playoff spot. And we will know most likely tomorrow because I have to go to bed soon. And I'm definitely not watching that game because I don't care about either of those teams for the most part. So, but that's the only scenario we have so far. We'll see more come out as the schedule gets later. But again, the Golden Knights will punch their tickets to the Stanley Cup playoffs if they get at least 1 point versus the Sharks tonight. So they have to make it to at least overtime, and they're in. So our first scenario has come to fruition. Well, has come to light. It hasn't come to fruition yet, but it can happen, and there we go.
Which makes me think, by our next podcast next week, there could be a couple teams who have punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. Yep. We'll definitely start seeing that.
We shall
maybe see. Maybe even this weekend.
Possibly. Possibly.
So, but
I know playoffs are underway in fantasy hockey, and I was a good old six seed in my Yahoo League, and I played the number two seed, and I crushed them. Massive upset. It was amazing. Nice. But now I'm losing in the second round of the playoffs. But they're still playing time to come back.
I have a bye week. Not a big deal. Second seed.
A humble brag. I'm right now playing in my ES. No, it's my Yahoo League where I had the upset. In my ESPN League, I am playing to get one game above 500. And depending on who else wins, I either will make it into like the championship bracket or the consolation bracket, because before last week's win, I had lost 4 weeks in a row.
Damn.
And like, they were like losses where it came down to the last day to decide the winner. And I just had the worst luck.
Oof.
So I was this close to like winning like my division, and now I'm like not even sniffing it. Like I'm not even make the big leagues for the cup run.
There we go.
Fantasy's been brutal this year.
Yeah.
I mean, my roster for the season started. Master, you're like, those are some good squads. And now I'm like, I thought so too.
I've been wheeling and dealing pretty well, knock on wood. But it is fun. This is the first time I've done fantasy hockey. And I want to say, something wants to say 5 years in me, but it's just tough because, especially with COVID, since games get postponed and stuff like that, you literally have to check your roster every day. Where it would literally be like, I'm pretty sure the last time I played, it would be I would set my lineup every day, but for the entire week, and then just leave it.
Yeah.
But it's again with COVID, it's like games get postponed or guys get COVID, and even if teams come back, they're still out. So it's a whole different ball game.
There's been a lot of unlucky scenarios, especially with me this year, due to like I've gotten a lot of players who've had COVID pauses on their team. And of course, the days where I have no one playing because of COVID pauses, my opponent has like their whole roster playing, and I'm like, great, cool, getting smoked tonight.
Yeah, actually, was this the first game that the Canucks played after their pause?
They beat Toronto Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Overtime, and Leafs fandom is in shambles right now.
Yep.
Trust me, I listen to the Steve Nangle podcast. No free ads, but that man is not happy right now.
Oh, well, welcome to the club, Steve.
Yes, indeed. Well, Matt, I think that might be everything this evening, correct?
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at Tuesday scores. Why am I looking at Tuesday? Yeah, we're obviously off the rails here talking about fantasy hockey now, because fantasy hockey is better than the actual hockey that we're watching. But Dave, with that being said, take us home.
Yeah. It's everyone, you know, it's springtime, although today didn't feel too much like spring with that cold front coming through. Now we're talking about weather. Oh, yeah. Man, we got to end this now. But hopefully Flyers fans, the team listens to 5-Minute Major Radio. They listen to Mastro and I, and they play with some gumption. I think I might have to throw that in the episode title now this week. The word of the day is gumption. But yeah, let's just hope they give us something good and fun to watch. Like, you play the Penguins, you're playing the Devils, you're playing the Rangers. Just beat them. And you're playing the Capitals once more. Just beat them. Try and make your fan base a little happy. Because at the point of this season, the draft this year, literally all lottery tickets with how these processes. There's like, I wouldn't consider there to be a consensus number one overall pick this year. So literally there could be guys drafted in the first round who are busts, and you could draft like three third or fourth rounders who end up being like all stars. So this year is a complete crapshoot with the draft. I don't care if they went out. I just want to see good hockey. I think it's what everyone wants to see for all of our sanities. we can get through this. It's 11 games left. It's all we got to do. So again, I know I didn't say this last week, but to kind of end this podcast on a hoorah and try and give the Flyers some good luck, I'm going to wish them a Let's Go Flyers, because we need it. So
now with that, ever.
Now or never, anytime, anywhere, fly or die, let's go Flyers.